The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include, if the Mexican border is closed, expect shortages and price spikes, and financial pressure mounts to fix Boeing's jetliner. And we'll begin with, if the Mexican border is closed, expect shortages and price spikes. It would most likely resemble the aftermath of a major natural disaster. Food shortages, skyrocketing prices, people out of work, and a plummeting stock market. While President Donald Trump sees shutting the border with Mexico as punishment for its failure to stop the flow of immigrants coming to the country illegally, economists warn that it could effectively paralyze the U.S. economy given the huge volume of blue jeans, cars, flat-screen TVs, avocados, and other goods that cross the border every day. Trump does not see it that way. In a series of tweets in recent days, the president has blasted Mexico's immigration policies and erroneously claimed that shutting the southern border would save the United States money, given that the United States buys more goods from Mexico than it sells to it. Next step is to close the border, the president tweeted Sunday. This will also help us with stopping the drug flow from Mexico. If Mexico doesn't immediately stop all illegal immigration coming into the United States through our southern border, I will be closing the border or large sections of the border next week, the president wrote Friday. While Trump has repeatedly frightened business leaders by threatening to terminate the North American Free Trade Agreement, which facilitates trade around the continent by cutting tariffs and streamlining regulations, shutting the southern border entirely would be far more destructive. Nearly $1.7 billion of goods and services flow across the border daily, as well as nearly 500,000 legal workers, students, shoppers, and tourists, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said on Monday. Most of us in the trade business thought terminating NAFTA would be quite a body blow, but what Trump is talking about now, shutting the southern border, would be catastrophic, said Gary Huffbar, a non-resident senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. It's just absurd. If Trump were to shut down the border, here is who would pay the biggest price. First, U.S. manufacturing. U.S. industries, including agriculture and autos, rely on Mexico for trade either by selling goods and services into Mexico or by using Mexican materials in their products. So one of the biggest victims of a border shutdown would be U.S. manufacturing, a sector the president has promised to help. The United States imported $349.6 billion of goods from Mexico in 2018, and it sent $265 billion back across the border, according to statistics from the Union Nations International Trade Center, making Mexico the United States' largest trading partner after China and Canada. Automakers who have spread their supply chains across North America would be among those most affected. Shutting the border would lead to sudden disruptions in the supply chains for auto parts, causing car production lines in South Carolina, Michigan, Indiana, and Alabama to shutter. The change would begin to affect U.S. auto production in less than 1 week, said Ann Wilson, Senior Vice President for Government Affairs at the Motor and Equipment Manufacturers Association, which represents auto parts makers. Other industries would be hard hit as well. Many manufacturers of flat-screen TVs, computer hardware, and medical devices are set up south of the border, while the apparel industry sources raw materials like cotton, buttons, zippers, and threads from the United States and sews them into finished products in Mexico. Closings would also affect sectors outside manufacturing, including energy. The United States supplies much of Mexico's natural gas through pipelines that run across the border, as well as the transportation sector, where hundreds of thousands of U.S. jobs are tied to moving goods to and from Mexico through ports and by truck or train. Overall, some of the world's biggest multinational companies would be affected, including Ford, Toyota, Boeing, and Caterpillar. But so would countless small and medium-sized businesses that depend on trade to make and sell their products. The Farm Belt and the U.S. grocery store shelves. The signing of NAFTA prompted a huge reorganization in agriculture on both sides of the border. Now consumers in the United States depend on Mexican farmers for fresh fruit and vegetables like avocados, tomatoes, strawberries, grapes, and mangoes, as well as packaged foods and beer. Mexico relies heavily on U.S. soybeans, corn, dairy products, chickens, beef, and other goods. The development of refrigerated trucks and railroad cars means much of the industry depends on just-in-time deliveries. If the border were to shut down, consumers would most likely see an immediate spike in food prices, and supplies of fresh food could dwindle from grocery store shelves in a matter of days. U.S. farmers would lose a major market, causing a drop in prices for their crops and a potential buildup of their goods in factory slaughterhouses and grain bins. Lance Youngmeyer, president of the Fresh Produce Association of the Americas, said that Mexico supplies more than 60% of all U.S. produce in the winter and early spring, and that a shutdown could result in immediate and uncontrollable spikes in prices for items like bell peppers, squash, tomatoes, cucumbers, melons, eggplant, and, yes, the beloved avocado. The rise in the popularity of avocado would not have been possible without trade with Mexico, which supplies 80% of the avocados eaten in the United States. If prices go up for fresh produce, people are going to have to choose between eating healthy or putting other food on their plates, Youngmeyer said. Business confidence. Trump often credits his policies with economic growth, renewed business confidence, and a rising stock market. But shuttering the border to legitimate commerce and travel could quickly undermine U.S. growth and productivity, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce said in a statement Monday. Closing the U.S.-Mexico border would inflict severe economic harm on American families, workers, farmers, and manufacturers across the United States, said Neil Bradley, the Chamber's Executive Vice President and Chief Policy Officer. It's hard to imagine that such a measure would not prompt a drop in the stock market, which has seized up as the president threatened to withdraw from NAFTA or put more extensive tariffs on China. That would dent the retirement savings of many Americans, as well as affect the ability of companies to raise money in the capital markets. Once the president breaks the glass once, that casts a lot of uncertainty on the future, said Scott Lincecum, an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. It would cast a cloud of uncertainty around a commercial relationship that for decades has been almost an afterthought. U.S.-Mexico relations and border communities. Americans often take for granted the fact that Mexico is an ally, ready to work with the United States on a range of issues, including water use and drug trafficking. But before NAFTA went into force in 1994, that future was by no means assured, said Phil Levy of the Chicago Council on Global Affairs. If business ties and relations with Mexico are strained, border communities in the United States would most likely suffer from both decreased economic activity and potentially higher cost from crime and migration. In McAllen, Texas, for example, Mexican shoppers make up nearly one-third of the roughly $3.2 billion worth of retail sales in the city records annually, signaling a grim prospect for city coffers if Trump follows through on his threat to shut down the border. We're impacted at a very personal level in that the people in McAllen, some of them work in Mexico. McAllen City Manager Roel Rodriguez said, adding that 30% is a huge number. La Plaza Mall, a Simon Malls property, is constantly full of shoppers on weekends, and the parking lots are often dotted with license plates from various Mexican states. The city and the Chamber of Commerce spend tens of thousands of dollars advertising McAllen in Mexico each year. The more global concern would be how it would impact the whole country, because the goods and services that come through the ports of entry, they don't just stay at the border, Rodriguez said. The produce, the equipment, the auto parts. So there's a real danger for cities on the border, but it has a greater impact than just the cities on the border. Salvador Contreras, who runs the Center for Border Economic Studies at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, said that there was a big risk for large companies with plants in the Mexican border towns of Reynosa across the Rio Grande from McAllen, including Caterpillar, LG, and Panasonic. If you're a multinational corporation who has, say, an operation in Reynosa and your ability to operate is being impacted, you might question your desire to maintain that plant there, Contreras said. Migration. Northern Mexican cities that depend on trade with the United States would be devastated by any extended border closing, leading to mass unemployment that could prompt more attempts to cross the United States border. Under U.S. law, asylum seekers can request protections once they reach U.S. soil, meaning border closings could actually encourage more desperate flights across the border. If anything, it would promote more poverty in Mexico, which would in turn then put more pressure on the immigration in the United States, Huffmeyer said. Nearly $1.7 billion of goods and services flow across the border daily, as well as nearly 500,000 legal workers, students, shoppers, and tourists, the United States Chamber of Commerce said on Monday. And next, financial pressure mounts to fix Boeing's jetliner. Boeing is facing mounting pressure to roll out a software update on its best-selling plane in time for airlines to use the jets during the peak summer travel season. Company engineers and test pilots are working to fix anti-stall technology on the Boeing 737 MAX that is suspected to have played a role in two deadly crashes in the last 6 months. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday that investigators have determined that the flight control system on an Ethiopian Airlines jet automatically activated before the aircraft plunged into the ground on March 10th. The preliminary conclusion was based on information from the aircraft's data and voice recorders and indicates a link between that accident and an earlier Lion Air crash in Indonesia, the newspaper said. Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration declined to comment on the report. Also on Friday, the New York Times reported that the Ethiopian jet's data recorder yielded evidence that a sensor incorrectly triggered the anti-stall system, called the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS. Once activated, the MCAS forced the plane into a dive and ultimately a crash that killed everyone on board, the newspaper said. The MAX remains grounded worldwide, and airlines are losing money by canceling flights. Southwest, the largest operator of the MAX with 34 of them and another 249 on order, said this week that the grounding caused it to cancel 2,800 flights so far, or 30% of all cancellations in the first quarter. It said cancel flights, including those not related to the MAX, will cost it $150 million in revenue for the quarter and cut its planned capacity growth for the entire year. German tour operator TUI Group said 2019 profit will drop about $225 million because of the MAX grounding. The forecast assumes the plants are flying again no later than mid-July. United Airlines, which has 14 MAX jets, said the grounding isn't hurting the airline yet, but the financial pain is expected to increase if the grounding extends into the peak summer travel season. Boeing is also seeing its own expenses rise, although it would not disclose how much it is costing the company to make the software fix and also train pilots how to use it. Cohen research analysts say a very rough guess is that Boeing will pay about $2 billion after insurance to fix the plane, pay crash victims' families, and compensate airlines that had to cancel flights. Most Wall Street analysts are betting that the planes will be flying again in less than 3 months, while noting that it could take longer in countries that plan to conduct their own reviews of the upgrade. And next, email show FDA worry with growers after food poisoning tied to romaine. After repeated food poisoning outbreaks tied to romaine lettuce, a U.S. food safety official shared his concerns in an internal email, saying the produce industry's water testing failed in an epic and tragic way. How the industry tests water to grow leafy greens is unacceptable and needs to change, James Gorney, a senior advisor for produce safety at the Food and Drug Administration, wrote to agency leaders. The message last November, obtained by the Associated Press through a public records request, came days before the agency warned people to avoid romaine ahead of Thanksgiving. Just months earlier in April, another E. coli outbreak linked to romaine had sickened more than 200 and killed five. That was later linked to an irrigation canal near a massive cattle lot in Arizona. The fall outbreak was linked to a water reservoir in California. In both cases, regulators never confirmed how the water became contaminated. Though the FDA has publicly called on the leafy greens industry to step up safety, the emails offer a stark view of the agency's long-standing frustrations with continued outbreaks. They also show how the agency leveraged the crisis to pressure for voluntary changes, even as it tries to figure out its own water testing rules. In a statement, the FDA said it has been working with growers and state agencies to improve safety since the outbreaks, including testing of romaine. The agency said new regulations that include farm inspections and sanitary rules for workers also should help stem outbreaks. industry group said that they're expanding existing safety practices for their members. Joining the industry agreements is voluntary, however, and a farm linked to the fall outbreak was not a member. Food poisoning outbreaks tied to leafy greens have been an ongoing concern for health officials. The failure of industry measures to stop outbreaks shows the lack of a clear solution, and even regulators aren't sure how to fix the problem, said Timothy Lighton, a food safety expert at Georgia State University. This month, the FDA delayed a regulation requiring produce growers to test water for E. coli, which is how the leafy greens industry has been monitoring its water. The presence of E. coli doesn't necessarily make people sick, but can signal potentially harmful strains. The agency said it needs more time to consider whether it's the most practical option. That's essentially just stepping back and asking industry to take responsibility for public safety, said Sarah Sorcher of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. And next, spring surge of migrants stresses the border. Some of the children detained under the bridge in El Paso, Texas, hide their faces in their hands, shielding themselves from the blowing dust. Behind the razor wire, families sit on gravel littered with paper cups, potato chip bags, and torn Mylar blankets. This place looks like a concentration camp, and we're not supposed to have that in America, said David Casillas, 44, a disabled veteran who tried to donate baby food on Friday to the hundreds of migrant families peering out through the fence. Border Patrol agents turned him away. The makeshift encampment under the bridge, where immigration officials are detaining hundreds of migrants in a military tent with little hot food, was set up recently after the main border processing center in El Paso reached up to 400% of its capacity and the largest influx of migrants to the United States in years. Similar scenes are unfolding at border stations across the 1,900-mile frontier, where Kevin McAllen, Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, said recently that facilities had reached a breaking point. The Border Patrol has been facing a record influx of migrant families since fall, but in recent weeks, the numbers have begun to escalate substantially thanks to the annual surge before the arrival of the deadly summer heat. The influx has stretched every government agency on the front lines, from the Border Patrol, whose agents encounter migrants after they cross, to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, whose officers normally process them for detention or release, as well as the Health and Human Services Department, charged with the care of children who come across the border without families. In response to the surge, hundreds of agents are being diverted from ports of entry where they facilitate international trade to help process migrants. Immigration officers are being redeployed to the border from duties in the interior, and the government is trying to quickly expand capacity at shelters that take in migrant children. President Donald Trump threatened Friday to close the southern border this week, a day after he criticized Mexico and several Central American countries for not staunching the exodus. If Mexico doesn't immediately stop all illegal immigration coming into the United States through our southern border, I will be closing the border or large sections of the border next week, the president said on Twitter. McAllen reported recently that on a Monday and Tuesday, the agency started the day with more than 12,000 migrants in custody. By Wednesday, that number had climbed to 13,400. In the 2018 fiscal year, which ended September 30th, nearly 400,000 migrants were apprehended at the border, a low figure compared with the peak of 1.6 million in 2000. But experts predict that arrivals this fiscal year could hit 1 million, a level not seen since the record numbers in the 1990s and early 2000s. And next, NC lawmakers want to help recruit retired teachers. Some powerful state lawmakers have introduced legislation to encourage retired North Carolina teachers to return to teach in high-needs public schools. Senate Bill 399, filed Thursday, would let retired teachers work at Title I schools or schools that receive a D or F grade under the state's school performance system without it hurting their retirement benefits. Teachers could earn $35,000 to $40,000 a year and still collect their current pensions. Senator Rick Horner, a Wilson Republican and one of the primary sponsors, said current state law limits the ability of retired teachers to return to work full-time in the state's public schools. They're our best teachers, Horner, co-chairman of the Senate Education Committee, said in an interview on Friday. It makes no sense not to figure a way for them to come back to work for us. Hopefully, they'll replace the substitutes who are working at our high-need schools. Dozens of education bills are filed each year in the General Assembly, but this bill's sponsors make it different. The other two primary sponsors are Senator Jay Chaudhuri, a Wake County Democrat, and Senate Leader Phil Berger, a Rockingham County Republican. Like House Speaker Tim Moore, Berger rarely is a primary sponsor of bills. Despite raising starting teacher salaries and providing teachers with five consecutive raises, we are still seeing the need for more teachers in certain schools around the state, Berger said in a news release. This bill provides an effective solution to help alleviate that issue. There are more than 1,400 Title I schools in North Carolina. They receive federal Title I funding due to their high percentage of economically disadvantaged students. A number of those schools also receive D and F letter grades from the state. Horner, who was a local school board member for 14 years, said superintendents are eager to bring back their retired teachers. He said it makes no sense that the state's retirement system makes it easier for retired teachers to go to work in the private sector or teach in other states than to return to North Carolina classrooms. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.